All right. Thank you, Brother Cohan. I trust my mic is on.
I tend to move a lot when I get behind a pulpit. So again, good evening, and I want to welcome each of you here. Thank you for joining us via the live stream. If you're here, if you've taken time out of your evening to be with us, we sure thank you for that. You'll notice behind me that there's a PowerPoint that we're going to be using throughout our service tonight. You should also have received a study guide with some notes. If you did not receive that, just lift your hand up and our ushers will get one to you. Those of you that are listening over the loudspeaker or the live stream, if you would like one of the study guides with some of the notes, just contact our church office and we'll be sure to get one of those to you. There's just a few up here that need some more notes with that. So tonight, I would like to talk to you about stewardship. What does the Bible say about being a wise steward? Do you know it affects all of us? Biblical stewardship, God is concerned about that. So tonight, as we study this, I trust that you'll take notes. There's no quiz at the end. It's just for you to write down and keep a reference for. But if you would, take your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I appreciate Brother Jason reading the few verses for our scripture reading before, which fits well with our topic this evening. Matthew chapter 25, I'd like to begin in verse 14. Verse 14, we're going to read down through verse 30 as we look at the topic tonight of biblical stewardship. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing, teeth. I have a question for us all tonight. What are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with what God gave you? We're going to study this tonight, biblical stewardship, as we look into our text. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our time here. Father, thank you for the wonderful opportunity to open your word and to preach to these, your dear people. Father, I thank you for this time that you've carved out that we could be here. Lord, I pray for this study tonight and these few moments that we have. I pray that you would receive all the glory. Lord, these people didn't come to hear me. If they did, they're going to be disappointed tonight. We all came to hear from you. Thank you, Lord, that your word is a living book. It's fresh, it's alive, and it meets us right where we are, and it teaches us, and it helps us grow. Father, I pray for every heart here tonight. I pray that every distraction would be put aside. I pray that the devil and his angels would stay far away from us. Lord, this is the most important thing we're doing tonight right here. Father, I pray you'd bless our dear pastor and Brother Pritchett as they're away. Give them a wonderful time. Help them to be recharged and energized. Thank you for all the work they do, Father. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit tonight. I pray you'd anoint me with fresh oil just to speak your words. I pray, oh Holy Spirit, I pray you lift this little preacher out of himself. I can't do this without you, Lord. I desperately need you. As we look into your word tonight, Father, may you receive all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What are you doing with what you have? We all spend our lives... I'm a crying preacher. I just want you to know that. Dr. John R. Rice, he said, oh, Lord, I just cry every time I preach. I just cry every time I preach. I just cry every time I preach. He said, Lord, take away my tears. God did. God took them all away. He got up the next night and he preached, and it was as dead as he could ever preach. He went back to his prayer closet that night and said, Lord, give me back my tears. And that next night, that altar was full of people. Not because a man has tears, but just you got to be passionate about what you believe, right? How we live our lives, how we spend it. There are some people that live their lives and they just squander it. They waste their life in purposeless living. These are people that they have no motivation. They waste it. There are also people that are stationary. These are people, they're inactive. They're not really motivated. They haven't really grasped the fact that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that He really did die on that cross for them, that He really did shed His blood for their life. They're unmotivated. I don't know about you, but to me, this is the most dangerous category. Someone who doesn't really come to grips with what Jesus did for them, and they just sit there. They're unmotivated. They're inactive. They don't do anything. They have great potential, but yet they just sit there. Then there's the last group. These are the stewards. These are people that understand what God gave them. These are the people that understand that life is a gift from God, and they want to live every second of their being to use it for God's glory. They identify God's directives for their lives, and they obey it. They see God as the owner and themselves as the administrators, fulfilling His directives. My friends, I submit to us all that we are in one of these three categories here tonight. We are in one of these three categories, and where do you find yourself? Our job is not to look at someone else and say, well, they're a waster. Oh, they have such great potential for God. You know, the more I realize and work on my own faults, the less I have time to look at everybody else's. Because it's going to take me the rest of my life to deal with my faults. And when I get all of them taken care of, well, I'll enter glory then, right? Because when we get there, we will be perfect. And we will see the rewards of our stewardship. Now, I like this picture because it deals with a sparrow. Now, I don't know about you, but I like birds. I made a bird feeder and I put it outside our house. I love to watch the birds. We have cardinals, we have blue jays, we have sparrows, we have doves, we have woodpeckers. But do you know the simplest bird that shows up is a sparrow? Do you know there are many different kinds of sparrows? Did you know that God says that our life is more valuable than many sparrows? God owns everything. We're simply managers and administrators. We're acting on behalf of God. God owns it all. We just get to be stewards. So I want to give you the definition of a steward tonight. A steward is someone who manages. They're someone who governs for the affairs of another. They oversee. Some of you might have this title at your job. You're a manager. You're an overseer. So, It literally means one who manages a household, who looks at all the affairs of someone else, whether it be all the finances, everything to deal with the farm, everything to deal with the business, everything to deal with the house, everything. Do you remember in the Old Testament, do you remember a man named Joseph? He would have been a steward, right? Because he was in charge of everything. What God gives for us to manage is still God's. It's still God's. What God has placed under your disposal is still God's. And I want us to look at Scripture tonight that we will give an account of what God gave us and how we are stewards. Because it's still God's. If He gave it to us to manage, then He has rules and regulations, and we do it out of love because we love God. We don't want to hear, don't you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? I do. And if God can say that in this parable, that somebody He gave five and they went out and with ingenuity and creativity, they had five more, God said, well done. The one that had two, he went out and he got two more. God said, well done. Did you realize that? They both doubled what the master gave them, but it was different amounts. But they both had well done said to them. You know what? Some of you in this room have been given unbelievable, absolutely amazing talent, amazing treasures. Do you know that you can be just as faithful as someone who's only given one spiritual gift? You can still be faithful. And God could still look at you at the end of your life and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because the Bible says that the master gave as their several ability. Do you ever think that God never gives you more talent and treasure than you can handle, more than you'll take credit for? Think about that. Maybe you've heard about that marriage. Oh, I mean, they were happily married, but they were kind of at odds with each other, you know. Maybe you've heard about this couple, right? They had a wonderful marriage, except for one feminine flaw. He was quick on the deposit, but she was faster on the draw. I know that's not you. Now, I got a few pictures here. I want you to think about this. If you were a steward, this is your farm, right? Look at all those, look at the buildings. You see all the fields. I mean, it looks pretty well groomed. It looks like a farmer and or his family took some time to make sure that they were going to invest in this. I mean, the buildings don't look run down. The house looks pretty well taken care of. The fields all look nice and irrigated. They all look nice and trimmed. Maybe there's corn. Maybe there's hay. Maybe there's some beans. I mean, it looks pretty nice, wouldn't you say? It looks like the steward's doing a pretty good job. These are pictures when I was in Panama from the banana plantation when we were there. I don't know about you, but that looked like hard work. These people that would go and for hours, they'd get up early in the day and they would go out and they would collect the bananas and they would bring them in and they would lay them all out. I mean, this was an ordeal. Man, this took time. You can't be lazy if you're going to work in a banana plantation or you won't get a job. Because somebody else that wants to work, they'll show up and they'll work. Right? Maybe this is you. Maybe your life consists of other people that are under your authority. You say that they need to do something and they fulfill your command. Maybe you're a manager at work. Maybe there's a lot of people that answer to you. Or maybe you're not the person standing up. Maybe you're one of the ones that sits down. Maybe the boss is telling you to do something and now you get to be a steward of what the boss has asked you to do. Maybe you feel like this is your life. You can pick which creature you'd like to be, but there's 10 children up there. Maybe you feel like your life is just a zoo. And maybe you feel like, wow, this is a lot. I don't know how I can do this, right? I mean, that's got to be one pretty strong horse, if you ask me. If you look at all these pictures, maybe you work in healthcare. Maybe you're in a service industry where you're serving other people, where they depend on you, right? Somebody comes to you for answers, and you need to help them, right? This lady has a little bit of creativity. There's four in the front and two in the back. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I had six kids, I don't know if this is the way I'd choose, right? If we need to go to the grocery store, I think I'd find alternate transportation, right? Now look at this. This is a church. Church looks, the lawn looks pretty well groomed. The steeple doesn't look to be falling apart. The shingles don't look like they're coming off. All the bushes around, they seem to be fairly well trimmed. The windows don't look like they're broken. The paint looks like it's upkept. Stuff doesn't look like it's out of plumb. Like things look like it's taken care of. The sidewalk doesn't look like it's cracked. To me, the people who own this church, it seems like they're being a pretty good steward. Because they care about what they're managing. Families are important. Maybe you're just a newly married couple. Maybe you have children, or you want to have children, or you will have children soon. Maybe your life is a little bit more blended. Maybe you have other family, extended family, that live under your roof. Maybe you have teenagers. Maybe you're a senior saint. Maybe your children are gone and out of the house and you get the joy of being a grandparent. Or maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're a widow. Maybe you're a single. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God has you to be a steward. And you can be faithful whether you have a whole lot of children or no children. Whether you have a spouse or don't have a spouse, you can be faithful. Because God doesn't make mistakes. If you're a wise steward, you know what you'll have? Every event recorded and every penny accounted for. I am extremely thankful for the work that our secretary, Ms. Harding, and our treasurer, Brother Adrian, I'm so thankful for the work that they do. I feel like everything is done decently and in order, and we praise God for the people that He's put in those positions. But if you're going to be a good steward, every event recorded, every penny accounted for. Why? Because we'll answer for it. So if you have your outline there tonight, I'm going to look at four principles of stewardship. Four principles that we're going to look here tonight of stewardship. Your first blank is the principle of ownership. Principle of ownership. Principle of ownership. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 24. Psalms 24. Psalm 24, I want you to look at verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. The principle of ownership. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. That would include you and me. The earth is the Lord's. If God owns the earth, then that means God owns what is on the earth. God owns everything. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. If God owns everything, this verse in Deuteronomy says that it is God that gives you the power to get wealth. Now that doesn't mean you're the richest person in this church. You could be the poorest person in this church. God still gives you the power to have everything that you have. God is the owner. Okay, so let's go to point number two. The principle of responsibility. First, God is the owner, but I want you to catch this. God has transferred that ownership to us. God owns it all, but He transfers that ownership to you and me, right? What did God tell Adam and Eve? What did the Lord tell them in the garden? Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. and have dominion over, and then it goes on to all these verses, the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the right? It goes on to say that, right? God owns everything, and he's transferred that ownership, just like he did with Adam and Eve. God blessed them, and God said, I want you to be fruitful, I want you to multiply, and I want you to subdue it. That word subdue, it's only used 8 times in the entire Bible. It literally means to have dominion over. God said, I made the earth, it is mine, but I'm giving you, Adam and Eve, I'm giving you the responsibility to subdue it, to have dominion over it. I want you to take care of it. We shouldn't need an earth day to realize we need to take care of the earth that God gave us. Guess what? It's the only place we have to live till we get to heaven. If we don't take care of it, shame on us. Also, the principle of responsibility. Turn over to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, verse 6. Psalms 8, verse 6. Thou madest him, thou is God, madest him, that's man. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. God owns everything. God has transferred that ownership to us, and we are responsible for what God has placed under our care. Again, these are just principles of stewardship. God is the owner, right? This, all of these 4 points that we're going to deal with, you can apply these to every area of your life. These are just principles. Life is about principles. God gives us principles that we can govern and pattern our lives by. But you would apply the principles of stewardship different to your life than you would say to mine. Because I have a different family. I have a different life. I live in a different scenario than you. So God owns everything. He's transferred that ownership to you and me, and so we are responsible. You know what I fear today? We have a lot of irresponsible people. I don't know about you, but if I did something wrong, I was told to take responsibility for it. Usually it was me, so I had to take responsibility. I was usually the one doing the wrong, right? So if God owns it, he's transferred that ownership to us in responsibility. Now, the third blank is this. Hold on. Another slide. When I was pastoring in Kenosha, God impressed this verse upon my heart like never before. You can apply this to your life, wherever you live, whatever you do. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Look well to thy herds. I realized that I was pastoring, those people were under my care. I wanted to know everything about them because I cared for them. A shepherd cares for his sheep. And sheep ought to care for the shepherd. I wanted to know everything about them. When I was a youth pastor, the kids that were there, I said, man, everybody that's here, I want you to give me all your sports schedules. I promise I will be in at least one of them. I don't care where you are, I don't care what you do. Track, football, soccer, basketball, baseball, whatever. I'll come. I'll come to at least one. Why? Because I wanted to be diligent to know the state of my flocks. I wanted to look well to my herds. Dads, we ought to do well to look well after our children. We ought to know them. Husbands, we ought to know our wives. We are going to be responsible for that. So that brings me to my third point, the principle of accountability. Accountability. Point number 3. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's a requirement. I don't know about you, but I like to know what's required of me, right? If I went to a job and I had no idea what was required of me, how would I know if I was doing the job? I want to know what's required of me. So if these are the requirements and I don't meet the requirements, then follow me. I shouldn't get paid. As a Christian, God says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Those of you that were in the service, this will make a lot of sense to you. When I was in the Army, There would be unannounced inspections all the time. And if your stuff wasn't squared away, that's a military term. That means if all your stuff wasn't neatly in order, everything was pressed, you could drop a quarter on your bed, and if it didn't bounce as high as a trampoline, you had to do it over again. You think I'm joking? I'm not. If you didn't have all your stuff prepared, because at any time they could come in and inspect what was your locker and everything like that. Do you know what? As a Christian, there's coming an inspection day. And God's going to look at our life and it's going to be filleted open and he's going to be able to see everything, every part. Right? We can fool each other. We can't fool God. Jonah tried to fool the guys that were on the ship. He said, I'm going to take a fare and I'm going to go down to Joppa. He tried to fool them. He bought the ticket, but boy, did he go down. God said, go. Jonah said, no. You know what God did to Jonah? He gave him a second chance. I'm thankful that God is a God of second chances, aren't you? He gives second chances. Let's say you failed the inspection. Okay, well, there's coming another one. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you faithful with what God has given you? God owns it all. You're responsible because God's transferred that ownership to you, and you will be accountable for that. Take now your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I want to read the first 8 verses of this. Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. And he, that's the Lord Jesus, said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Let me stop right there. That word wasted. Do you remember one chapter earlier in Luke where the prodigal son, right? Do you remember when the Bible says he went out into a far country and what did he do? He wasted his substance with riotous living. That's the same word that's used here. Wasted. He had wasted his goods, verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. The story is the master had a steward, and it was told the master that his steward had wasted his goods. Now, I want you to pick up on this. Do you know what the master did? The master didn't just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to assume that this accusation is right. Because, yeah, it probably is. He probably wasted that. No, what did he do? He went to his steward and said, give an account of thy stewardship. He heard something, and he didn't believe it, so he went right to the steward. Can I say that when we hear something that doesn't seem to make sense about the other person, we ought to go to that person and make sure if that's true or not? We ought not be in the line of passing on gossip or things that maybe aren't true. The steward was approached by the Lord and said, hey, give an account of thy stewardship. I've heard that you are wasting my goods. Is that true? Give an account. Tell me what you've been doing with your time, with my stuff. That's what the master said. So the steward, he said, well, man, what am I going to do? He's going to put me out if I don't find a way to take care of this. Right, so he goes to the places, and he goes to the farmers, goes to the farmer one. How much do you owe? How much do you owe? Sit down quickly and write it. He takes that, he goes back to his master and says, here you go. And the Bible says, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he done wisely. Even if you've slacked off on your stewardship, The master still wants you to be faithful. Even if you blew it. Oh man, I've messed it up with this. My home's falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. My children don't this. My job is this. Okay. Go to the master and say, Master, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Do you know that God is an expert forgiver? He's an expert. Has his PhD in forgiveness. Did you know that? He is a forgiving God. The master went right to the steward and said, give an account. Right? You and I will give an account of our stewardship. So what are some areas that we can be stewardship? How about God's time? You are only given 86,400 seconds every day. When they're gone, they're gone. And how you spend them is up to you. We live and die by time. How are you doing with God's time? Where are you investing God's time? Do you know what I find? The older I get, and when I talk to people who've had more birthdays than me, do you know what they say? Do you know what they say? Man, time goes fast. But you know what? Time doesn't go any faster. Last I checked, the earth is spinning at the same speed it was still after the flood. It doesn't go faster. Our concept of time goes faster, right? Oh, God's salvation. First of all, God's salvation, and then God's time, right? What are you doing with the salvation that God has given you? It's a gift, you know that. God didn't have to save you. Have you ever pondered to think about that? We were on State Street this past weekend. Gave a tract to this lady and I held it out there for her. I said, oh, would you read this if you got some time? She says, what is it? I said, oh, it's actually a piece of paper to tell you how you have eternal life. You know what she said? She said, oh God, no. First thought in my mind is when you die, you'll be saying, oh God, yes. What are you doing with the salvation that God gave you? Friends, if you're here tonight and Jesus Christ is not your Savior, I'm here to tell you that it's a free gift and all you have to do is receive it. You have to understand that you're drowning before you're willing to reach out for someone to save you. God's salvation is free. It's real and it really does work. What are you doing with that? What about God's money? You say, whoa, 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 Brother Taylor, you're stepping on toes now. You know what? The Bible does say, or our money does say, in God we trust. In 1863, Treasury Secretary Samuel P. Chase, he said, no, 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 Congress, here's what we need to do. We need to put this, in God we trust, in our money. You know what? It was a 13-0 unanimous vote. And since that day, in God we trust is all the American currency. In God we trust or in money we trust? It's God's money. Do you know what God gave? God can take away. God's given you talents. God's given you a job that you make six figures. God's put you in corporate America that you do very well. God can take that away. He can. God is looking for people who are wise stewards. Because you know what? God owns everything. God owns your wallet. It's not your money. You get to be a steward of the money that God's given you. Right? What about God's temple? What about your body? I see it every single day at the hospital. People who don't take care of their bodies. It's puzzling to me. This is the only body you're going to have this side of heaven. Did you know that? You're not going to get a full body transplant. When you get to heaven, you will, but not now. Think about this. Think about this. If you are unhealthy, you will struggle in fulfilling what God's call is on your life. Right? Let's say God's called you to do something, but you struggle with your health. You don't take care of your body. You actually are somewhat lazy. You don't take diligence to try to eat right or maybe get some exercise or sleep well enough or stay hydrated. Right? If you're not taking care of your body, how can you fully fulfill what God's called you to do? I truly believe with all my heart that when we get to heaven, we will answer for how we take care of God's body. This temple is the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where the Holy Spirit lives. My piece of salvation, He lives inside of me. Be careful not to let your body, not to let it become unhealthy. Now, I realize we can't choose certain things. None of us would choose cancer to affect our bodies. Certain diseases that come upon us, certain tumors or things that happen, I get that. But if we're not diligent to take care of the body that God gave us, I would submit to us, that's a sin. We're going to answer for that. What about God's children? What about God's children? Whether it's the children that are in your own home or whether it's the children that are in God's house, are you a good steward of that? I remember when Selah was born, just a few days after she was born, she had to have emergency surgery. She had a twisted intestine. We were at Children's Hospital in Milwaukee. And I remember that morning when they wheeled her out, just this tiny little cart, my precious little girl. I remember they wheeled her out and people from our church were there and they were in the waiting room. It was just packed with people. And I remember they wheeled her out and I Faith and Nova, they stayed back. And I just followed just as far as I could. And the guy said, nope, you got to stop right here at the red line. You can't go any further. This is all clean. You got to stop right here. And I remember getting right at the line. I remember stopping. I was just so quiet. My spirit was troubled. And this overwhelming thought came over me. God, if you take her home, you'll be fair. Did you know that God doesn't owe us children? Did you know that your children are on loan? You didn't make them. God made your children, and He gave them to you. Are you a good steward with the children that God's given you? Maybe your home looks like this. Beautiful, absolutely mansion. I mean, your taxes are wonderful, right? I mean, you just have a monster of a home. Look at this home. Looks a little bit run down. Doesn't look like it's as well taken care of. Looks a bit smaller. Doesn't have all the amenities that the other place has. My friends, do you know that you got to be a steward of both places? It takes just as much stewardship to be a steward of the second house as it does the first one. What about this? Look at this pantry. I mean, look at the bins. I mean, everything's all nice and organized. I mean, it's full. Like, every shelf is taken care of. The bins are all coordinated nice. It's all lined up. It's all organized. Some of the bins are overflowing. Look at this one. Just a few things in the cupboard. Just enough to maybe get you by. My friends, you have to be a steward no matter what your pantry looks like. Whether you have a little or you have a lot. What about money? Whether you just have a pile of money. You might be the richest person in this church. You know that? You might be. You might make the most money out of this church. Maybe you just got a pile of money, or maybe you just got a pile of coins. Did you know that you have to be a steward regardless of what your paycheck is? Because you give an account for that. It doesn't matter what you make. You have to be a steward of what you make. Which leads me to my last point, is the principle of reward. The principle of reward. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Do you know what God does? God keeps perfect records. He does. So if God owns it, He's transferred that responsibility to you. You will give an account of that, and God will say, oh my, well done. Well done. Well done. I don't know if this is true or not, but I tend to think there's going to be tears at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in Psalms, it says He bottles all of our tears. Did you know that God's in the bottling business? Did you know that? He holds all of our tears in a bottle. And then in Revelation, you know where it talks about Revelation 21? The Bible says He shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. Do you know that there is nothing that we can create in a laboratory, anything else that is better for the eye than tears? That's what cleans the eye the best. God is going to reward us. He's going to reward us. So your last few blanks here. Stewards are entrusted with different amounts. Right? Not everybody has the same. Not everybody has the same house. Not everybody has the same vehicle. Not everybody has the same job. Not everybody has the same family. Not everybody has the same church. Not everybody has the same anything. So stewards are entrusted with different amounts. Just like our passage in Matthew 25. Remember what the master did? He gave one, he gave five, and the other one he gave two, and the other one he gave one. It wasn't the steward's job to say, "Listen, boss, how come he got five and I got two?" No, 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 no. We ought to say, "Lord, thank you for two. Thank you for one. Thank you." Stewards are entrusted with different amounts. Next. A steward is always held accountable regardless of the value of what he manages. You are always held accountable. Remember the two pictures of those two houses? Whether you live in the first house or whether you live in the second house, regardless of the value, you will be held accountable. So you say, "Well, my house isn't like brother so-and-so's. My pantry isn't like sister so-and-so's. My money isn't like brother so-and-so's." Since when are we to compare ourselves to each other? We're not. We should live for an audience of one. That's who we should live for. Not one group of people. One Lord. One Master. Right? Regardless of what it is, the value is what we are managing. It often requires education and training. Now, I don't know about you, but remember that picture of that farm, and it had all that stuff there, and it had fields, and it had buildings that were probably full of machinery, right? I would need some training. If I was inherited that, right, I would ask my good friend, Mr. Ladwig, how to do that. I would ask him, because he knows. He's been a farmer, you know, since he got off the Noah's Ark, right? So he would know, right? I would need some training. Do you know what? Whatever God has given you, you would be wise to learn your craft so you can do it better. I don't know about you, but I like to see a church that's run decently and in order. I like to see that. Why? Because this is the most important thing that we do. I want to be a good testimony. No matter what I do, I want to do it well. You ought to too. Often needs education and training. All stewards are evaluated in the end. There is coming a quiz day. There's going to be a test. At the end of it all, there will be a test. Maybe Friday. Who knows, right? Remember when the teacher said, "Test Friday," and everybody went, "Oh." All stewards are evaluated. No matter what you've been given, you will be evaluated. I don't care if you got five talents or two or one, you will be evaluated. A good steward is a trusted servant. A trusted servant. Follow me here. If Jesus Christ saved you and He gave you at least one spiritual gift to be used within the church, then you know what? God has entrusted you with a spiritual gift to be used for edification of the Lord Jesus Christ and your other brothers and sisters in Christ. He's trusting us with salvation. He didn't have to do that. It's God's gift. We receive it and we get to be a new creature. But it's trusted. Are you trusted? Can people trust you? Could that be said of you? If somebody said, "Pick three adjectives that describe sister so-and-so," would trustworthy be one of yours? Can people trust you? Godly stewardship brings satisfaction. Has the boss ever come to you, said, I need you to do this, this, and this, and it's got to all be done. It's got to all be done by Friday, right? This is Monday. It's got to all be done by Friday. And you stay there late, and you go in early, and you get everything done, and you know what? You got it done Thursday night. Doesn't that give you a sense of satisfaction that you accomplished what the boss wanted you to do? And when Friday morning rolls around, you can say, here you go, boss, just like he said. I think that when we get to heaven, I think that there's going to be a level of satisfaction for those that were faithful when God says to me, you know what? Well done. Good job. Well done. Since God owns everything, then every decision we make is a spiritual decision. Every decision, everything. God, should I buy this car? Should I buy that car? Lord, should I marry this girl or not? Lord, should I do this? Should I take this job? Lord, should I go to this church? Lord, should I do this? Lord, should we have another child? Lord, should we do this? Lord, should we? God will direct you because God owns it. He's given you the responsibility. You're accountable and He'll reward you if you're faithful. I have two more slides and then I'm done. You and I have two decisions in this life. Really, it boils down to this. You and I have two decisions. Number one, are you saved? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If you were to die tonight, if your heart were to stop beating and you were to stop breathing and you were to stand before Almighty God and He should say, why should I let you into the heaven that I have created for my people? What would your answer be? You will give an account. I don't know about you, but if I were to come face to face with the living God, I would probably be like Job and be speechless. I don't know what to say. It's God's will that you be saved. He died on that cross. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I don't believe that Jesus Christ died for a limited amount. I believe He died for the sins of the whole world. That includes mine. That includes yours. So if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what your second decision is? Are you surrendered? Are you surrendered? Does He really own you? Because the Bible says that you were bought with a price. One drop of blood bought you. One drop. In the adult human body, we have about 5.5 liters of blood. When you're pregnant, you have more. But nobody here is pregnant. Well, you do have some, a little bit more, right? 5.5 liters of blood. One drop from Jesus Christ paid your ransom. One. Are you surrendered to Him? When you've surrendered, stewardship becomes your way of life. You just want to be a good steward. You want to follow the Lord. You want to do what's right. You want to follow Him. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I trust as we spent these few moments looking over this, I trust that we leave here tonight thinking, Lord, am I a good steward? Help us to be faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the opportunity that we can have here tonight. Thank You for these dear people and how they listen so well, Father. Thank You for the topic that You've placed in Your word of stewardship. God, I pray, Lord, give a short invitation here, Father. I pray that if someone needs to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, I pray that tonight would be the night they would do that. They would get eternity settled. Lord, I just pray that if there's someone here tonight that feels like they've just been wasting their life, they've just been living, they've just been running on the treadmill of life and not going anywhere for You, Lord, I pray that tonight they would choose to follow You and obey You in whatever way You see fit. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask the pianist to play the invitation.